Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center, marking 50 years of compassion and care. Learn more at ANHC's Open House, August 5th, or at anhc.org.
Equity calls for a fair, impartial approach to providing opportunity. But it is not quite so straightforward. If one person can afford to pay for college and one cannot, is giving them both access to scholarships equitable? Is providing an open door enough, or do people need different types of access depending on their financial or other abilities? As the Trump administration seeks to end all federal references to diversity, equity, and inclusion, who loses and who benefits? Defining true equity is our discussion today on Talk of Alaska.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
From Alaska Public Media, it's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. How can all of us work to create a community where opportunity is available and, more importantly, that access to that opportunity is equitable? What does that look like and what has to change to achieve it? How is true equity achieved and who gets to decide? Our guests today are so committed to creating more equitable communities here that they recently opened an equity center in Anchorage. Joining me in the studio today are three members of the Alaska Black Caucus. Celeste Hodge Groudon is the president and CEO of the Alaska Black Caucus. Rich Kirtner is an attorney and the chair of the Justice Committee. And Dr. Amana Mbise serves as chair of the Health Committee for the Alaska Black Caucus. Welcome all of you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Great to have you in the studio. I want to note that we also invited other folks from Indigenous and other associations of communities of color, but that invitation was not accepted today. Before we launch into today's important discussion about equity in our gloriously diverse state, I want our listeners to think about the station they're listening to Talk of Alaska on right now. Whether you are in Dillingham, Kotzebue, Fairbanks, Juneau, Bethel, Unalaska, Fort Yukon, Chivac, Sitka, Petersburg, Ketchikan, St. Paul, McGrath, Galena, Utqiagvik, Haines, Homer, Kenai, Sandpoint, Talkeetna, Unalakleet, Valdez, Wrangell, Kodiak, and of course Anchorage, or one of the dozens of other communities that hear our collective signal all across the state. Our statewide network of stations is strong because of you. Please know that the cuts to federal funding for public broadcasting are real and they are serious, especially for our partners in rural Alaska. Public radio brings community voices to the air. Often it is the voices of people with no political power, but with perspectives we can all gain knowledge from. Our reporting work holds officials accountable. We work to bring you clarity and context so you can make informed decisions. Without your local public radio station, programs like this one, Talk of Alaska, won't reach all communities. We won't be able to bring as many Alaskan voices to the air. If you value these discussions between your statewide neighbors, then please go to your local station's website right now and pledge your financial support. Or if you are a member, please consider increasing your support right now. It is truly needed to ensure we can continue to learn from each other, have respectful discussions and debates, and bring you the important news stories of the day. Don't let the voices of democracy go silent. Please help your station in your community or region, and thank you. Okay, thank you all for your patience. I had to get that pitch out there and help people realize that this is a very important time for public broadcasting.
And let me just say, as you were talking, I was thinking about such a need. I mean, where would we be without talk radio? And, you know, the other messages that are brought forward to our community without you all. I mean, it's a must. It's not something that we don't need. It's something we must have. So I just wanted to share that as you were talking, and the fact that it's conversations like this that we strive to get to our communities, and without you all, we have nothing. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, when I think about talk radio, to me, what we provide is respectful conversation and discussion of issues without the shock factor or rudeness or any of that sort of what you find on other areas of the dial. So we want to have productive discussions, and we're going to have one right now. Celeste, there is so much to discuss about the opening of the Equity Center and the work it will support. But first, give us your definition of equity. What does it look like? What is it?
So let me just start by saying diversity emphasizes the importance of diverse backgrounds, perspectives, and experiences within an organization or community. When we talk about equity, though, equity focuses on fairness and justice, ensuring that resources and opportunities are distributed according to individual needs. And then there's one other piece, the inclusion piece, and that is that aims to create an environment where everyone feels welcome and has the opportunity to participate fully and thrive. So I just wanted to share that as well. Equity, again, focuses on fairness and justice. And we seem to not doing a great job with that these days.
And those should be goals for everyone. Fairness
everyone.
And justice should be everyone's goals so that we have healthier, more productive communities. I mean, it helps all of us if everyone is doing better.
And who wouldn't want that?
Who indeed? Tell us, Celeste, and again, I want to remind our listeners, I gave a big, long opening there, but I want to remind our listeners that this is Talk of Alaska, and today we're talking about equity in Alaska and the features of the new Equity Center of the Alaska Black Caucus. In the studio with me today is Celeste Hodge-Groudon, the president and CEO of the Alaska Black Caucus, Dr. Amana Mbise, the chair of the Health Committee, and Rich Kirtner, an attorney and the chair of the Justice Committee. So, Celeste, help us understand the history here for the Alaska Black Caucus. Give us some background. The current Alaska Black Caucus formed in 2020, but it's the second iteration, correct? There was another Black Caucus here nearly 50 years ago?
So we're all the Alaska Black Caucus. It was formed in 1975. Mm-hmm. It's the... You know, I don't want to, you know, toot my own horn or the horn of the Alaska Black Caucus, but I will.
Please do.
It's the, they've always had an ambitious agenda that they've accomplished, and they have done and continue to do great work in this community. And so, again, formed in 1975, we reorganized in 2020, and so we became a 501c3 organization. But the foundation remains the same. We have been fighting for and will continue to fight for justice, equality, and we look forward to continuing this work with our community.
Tell us how the idea of the Equity Center came together, and did you model it after a different center of some kind?
So the Equity Center came about as a dream of mine. We have long needed space to accomplish our work. And we've gone along for a while renting space and sometimes not being afforded opportunities to rent space. And, you know, that just got old. And so a few years ago, after the murder of George Floyd, I sought on with the other individuals of like minds, we sought to secure funding for our own space, our own place, and just so blessed to have been in contact with individuals that thought that that was the right thing to do. And so I thank our donors, donors like the Municipality of Anchorage, and I thank the Rasmussen Foundation, and just so many others, MJ Murdoch Trust Foundation, and but the Equity Center is really a transformative initiative designed to address the unique needs of the Black and BIPOC communities. I mean, it providing a dedicated space for empowerment, support, and growth. It's significant, and it signifies, I mean, it lies in its multifaceted approach to fostering a sense of belonging while actively providing and promoting health, education, cultural celebration, and economic opportunity. The center's first objective is to create a welcoming environment where individuals can connect, share experiences, and celebrate their diverse cultures. By facilitating discussions on pressing community issues, including health challenges and access to healthcare services, the Equity Center builds mutual support and strengthens the bonds within the community. And I can go on and on. I mean, the center will play a crucial role in addressing chronic health conditions through education programs and health screenings, ensuring that community members receive culturally affirming resources. By collaborating with health organizations, we can improve health literacy and promote healthier lifestyles, particularly among Black and BIPOC youth through positive development programs. And let me just add this, the commercial kitchen, now that's a plus. And it leases workspaces, which will not only provide Black and BIPOC own business, small businesses the opportunity to thrive, but also celebrate culinary traditions, showcasing the talents of local chefs and food entrepreneurs. So this focus extends to hosting healthy cooking classes, which we all desperately need, and nutrition workshops, emphasizing the connection between culture and well-being. So that's just a start. I can go on.
So many amazing areas to drill down into, and we'll get to some of those throughout this hour. You've been working on opening the full center for a few years. What did you hear from Alaskans during the open house in June? Did people think you opened the Equity Center in response to current federal policies?
No. Yes, it's taken 3 years. I mean, it's a $3 million project. And so $3 million didn't come overnight. And it was all about partnerships. And again, as I shared, it's a community investment project. And so, you know, whether or not people approve of the Equity Center, it's something that is supported by a lot of people within our community, funding-wise and talk-wise. And we're looking forward to actually opening the doors. There's still a couple of things left to do, but we expect to be completely open by August 1st.
All right. That's this Friday. That's fantastic. So let's talk about some of the systemic problems that you're all trying to address through the center in education, law, health, other areas, employment, housing. Rich, start with legal equity. What is your committee working on to help ensure that all Alaskans are treated fairly and equitably under the law?
Well, we worked on a couple of things. Right now, we're working on a workforce with the assembly and the city for recreating a public safety commission. We used to have a public safety commission. It sunsetted because it wasn't working very well. And there's so much of concern with public safety right now. And we're trying to, we have a task force of 19 people, perhaps, all from all different parts of the city. And we're trying to figure out what public safety, how we can improve public safety. One of the, what I am most interested in is working with the police department. We tried to, one of the things we worked on was getting body cams here. You know, the voters voted for it. And I spent 3 years advocating for body cams. Where were they? And there was no transparency with the administration or the APD at that time. So I think the community is concerned about transparency and with the police department and getting some kind of a communication between the public and law enforcement. And now that where we are right now with the workforce is it's become a much bigger issue is public safety overall. And I think that one of the things that this workforce is going to be dealing with is homelessness and how do we deal with those issues. I know we recently did a survey where a lot of people expressed concerns as far as public safety, the homeless situation here. Mm-hmm. And but I hate to see that issue sidetrack more bigger issues as far as transparency and communication between the community and law enforcement or other parts of public safety.
Well, you were on Talk of Alaska with Chief Case last year talking about equity in policing. Are you working, is the Justice Committee working directly with the police department on a continuing basis on cultural education and other topics?
Well, Chief Case is on this workforce, and along with the head of the police union, and we have city, the city is represented, the mayor's office is represented on there. And, you know, we're trying to build a coalition, and the Alaska Black Caucus also belongs to the Alaska Coalition for Justice, which is the Native movement and Pacific Island community and the NAACP and a bunch of different community organizations. So I think that the Alaska Black Caucus can, especially with the Equity Center now, we can build, start building coalitions where we can work with everybody to make make public safety better for everybody in Anchorage.
And Lori, if I can just add to that. So a couple of weeks ago, we had representatives of the 400 Years African American History Commission come to Anchorage. They're partners with the Alaska Black Caucus. And we were very fortunate. And I'll share this with anyone. I say it publicly all the time. Our goal is to work with the Anchorage Police Department to better the relationships with our diverse community and APD. And I'm happy to say that Chief Case is very supportive of that. And the I Fear for My Life initiative was presented by members of the 400 Years of African American History Commission to the Anchorage Police Department. They had a great training. It was, I think it was 2 days or 3 days. And so we are working to better our relationship. And again, Case is very supportive of that. And I'm glad to see that happening.
Dr. Mbise, thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
I want to talk with you now. We know there are health disparities in Indigenous and communities of color. Talk about the factors that lead to poor health outcomes for folks in this population.
Mm. Thank you. Yeah. Just wanted, before I get to that, I would like to just speak to what ABC has been doing in relation to sort of addressing the health needs of Black Alaskans. And you know, health is a key part of our well-being. And back in 2020, ABC has been at the forefront of addressing the health of all Alaskans. In fact, 2020, COVID-19, ABC was the founding member of the advisory board that advised on different strategies that the state as well as our municipality could increase access to vaccination rates. So understanding that there are specific factors that at least we realized 2020 that especially in the BIPOC community, the Black and Indigenous communities, there were factors that were preventing people from accessing vaccinations for COVID. And ABC was involved in trying to sort of address that and speaking to the Black community, speaking to the BIPOC community in general through access and outreach work in the community. But we have also been a part of conversations around, you know, how do we collectively address the objectives that are part of the Healthy Alaskans objectives? And those include increasing access to vaccination, increasing access to addressing, physical, mental health challenges in general. And so as ABC, we understand that as much as we're trying to address equality, there are specific factors that differently impact Black people in particular, such as the history is such that Black people are starting on a different footing from everybody else. I think we can all go back as far as discussing the impact of enslavement and so on, and racism and so on. And all these factors, medicine has actually agreed, has caught up to agree that we, in order to address the health of you know, everybody, we need to also look at those factors that are disproportionately impacting communities, such as racism, unequal access to health insurance. So we are thinking about how do we as Black people increase access to health insurance. Yes. We are talking about, you know, how do we reach communities through vaccination. So we understand that as a Black community, we are disproportionately impacted by these factors, such as, you know, racism. And so what have we done as ABC? We have done a number of outreach events to promote vaccination. Promoting, more specifically, we have done research to understand sort of the health needs of Black Alaskans. And I can talk more about the health needs assessment that we conducted, because we have realized that even the state didn't have the right data that was specific to Black people. And if you want to address health disparities, you have to also look at the data.
And it's got to be accurate.
And it's got to be accurate. So as part of that contribution is we are trying to understand, you know, what are the specific needs of Black people, what specific data is saying, and helping to contribute by disaggregating that data so we can really identify what are those areas of need specific to Black Alaskans. And I can highlight some of those.
Yeah, we'll drill down on that. I you know, just the fact that for so long, as you well know, Black people were not included in medical studies and things that would help better understand the physiology of different people's bodies and how their
right.
systems react to things.
Right.
That's also an issue of creating trust. If you're bringing people into these clinical trials and things, people can better understand how those systems work and have less suspicion about them. The push to wipe out diversity, equity, and inclusion in programs and to remove references to them on the federal websites. What are you hearing from people about how this is affecting their mental and physical health? After years of working to move forward to a more equitable society, to see this rapid backslide, how is that affecting people?
Well, it's an erasure. You're erasing an entire group because without the data to understand how, for instance, how do Black people experience, you know, cancer, for instance, how does that impact them differently? Without the data, without collecting data that is disaggregated specific to Black people, then of course you're basically saying that you're not focused on that population. So erasing any focus on DEI and equity is basically saying, you know, we don't want to see that. so that is the erasure part. And so that has an impact in the sense that you don't then focus on creating interventions that target these specific populations. And so I think the more people are seeing that their stories are not being told, they're not being heard, because DEI is also about listening to who is impacted and who isn't impacted by these you know, health issues. So I think that for us, it represents a silencing or an erasure of an important voice of a people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. And Celeste, yes.
Lori, I just want to add to, Dr. Amana touched on it, but the Alaska Black Caucus was the first, I mean, the health needs, the Black Alaskans health needs assessment. That was the first. I mean, we've never had a needs assessment, as Dr. Amana shared. And so the Alaska Black Caucus, through the University of Alaska Social Work Program as a partner, created. I mean, we produced the first one. And that will help us, guide us, direct us toward different policies that will benefit our communities. And so I just wanted to add that to the conversation as well. And to your question about moving back and stepping back from DEI. And, you know, we must acknowledge that our work is far from complete. I mean, it's to me, this is horrible that we're in this state right now, but the pursuit of true equity, justice, and fairness is a journey that demands continuous effort. All I can say is we cannot give up. We cannot give up hope. We must stay in good and necessary trouble. I mean, we all know who shared that. But in these challenging times where civil rights face relentless attacks and our democracy is threatened, we must remember that freedom requires courage, resilience, and unwavering collective action. Only by coming together can we build an America that truly reflects its promise, an America that works for everyone. And so, again, I share that because I believe that people, individuals, businesses, are some of them are fearful of what might happen if they promote equity or diversity or inclusion. And it is not time to be fearful. We must unite together because together we are stronger. And so I get really passionate about this because I see and I sense the fear.
We are going to take a short break, and thank you, Celeste, for reminding us that we all need to, as the late Congressman Lewis said, get into good trouble, necessary trouble, to help everyone achieve equity. We'll come back after a short break and continue our discussion with members of the Alaska Black Caucus about the new Equity Center in Anchorage and what equity means for us all as Talk of Alaska continues statewide. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Today we're talking with members of the Alaska Black Caucus. In the studio today is Celeste Hodge-Groudon, the president and CEO, Dr. Amana Mbise, the chair of the Health Committee, and Rich Kirtner, an attorney and chair of the Justice Committee. So for all of you, as you well know, racism and oppression has held people back because of skin color or ethnic origin. It's held people back for educational opportunities, for employment, for housing, forcing too many people into subpar jobs or homes sometimes in areas of high crime because that's all people can afford. And that creates a skewed picture for some white people about why people aren't in these lead positions or in better homes. How do you try to educate about that oppression to help people understand the real reasons why people struggle to thrive, the things that keep them on the lower economic rungs of society? Celeste?
Well, I'll start with, you know, I remember comments about the fact that people of color are where they are because they don't strive to be better, to do better. And I also often remember the, you know, pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Well, it's hard to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps if we don't have the boots or the straps. And so to me, again, it's about having the opportunities. Just give us an opportunity. I often tell this story about my life growing up here in Anchorage, Alaska, how I worked for the municipality of Anchorage and was employed there for over 20 years. And for the first 12 years of my life, just about, I remained in an entry-level position, couldn't get promoted because I was told I didn't have a degree. Went to school, got my degree. It was an associate degree at first, but I still couldn't get promoted. But I would witness other individuals that looked like me that didn't have degrees get promoted. So I went back to school again, got my social work degree, and still couldn't get promoted. And again, witnessing others that didn't look like me receive promotions. And it wasn't until Mark Begich, who worked on the assembly with Dick Traney at the time, I went to an assembly meeting because I was the one that was, my position was proposed to be deleted. And so I went to the assembly to fight for my position, a single mom, you know. And so I was striving and trying to do the work to maintain employment. And I remember going into that assembly meeting and Dick Traney and Mark sharing the comment about, well, I find it strange that the only position that this department is trying to eradicate happens to be a position held by the only black person that works in the department. And so I'm happy to say that the assembly overrode the decision to delete my position, and I remain there. But it's just decisions like that that keep us from doing better. And let me just add really quickly. And so when Mark Begich became mayor, Mark Begich took me out of that entry-level position, promoted me to serve in his administration as the deputy director of equal opportunity. And after 2 years, I became the director. But he provided an opportunity for me. And guess what? He cracked the door for me. And I was able to blow it wide open because he provided, that's all we need is an opportunity. And so the rest is history. They told me, if I would have believed the stuff that I was told when I was served in those entry-level positions, that I could not do anything better than to answer the phones or be a receptionist or, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody that's in one of those positions, but I knew that I could do more. I felt that I could, and it was only because I was given an opportunity that I was able to do so. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to add that, I think it's a good question as to how do you talk about racism to different people? And in a time where I think dialogue has been suppressed a lot, at a time where we don't seem to be listening to each other. But I think having an individual conversation about the experiences that, you know, I face, that, you know, others face, perhaps that could have more impact than speaking to a larger population, is to sit down and ask maybe your neighbor or your friends, how are you doing? How do you experience, you know, being different or looking different in other ways? Because it's in those small spaces that I think there's more, I would maybe say, grace to listen to each other. At a time when I think there's a lot of polarization, and that we're not quite listening to each other, but I would also say that is in my area of health. What matters is how does racism look like? It looks like what health disparities. You know, you can show the data. Perhaps somebody would listen to data when they look at the data and see how, for instance, black people are disproportionately impacted by cancer rates. Women, even though they get pap smear at a higher rate, they still are disproportionately dying from cancer and so on. So I think speaking at those level and supported by data, there is a chance that perhaps you can invite somebody for a conversation and to understand how these small actions lead up to the larger population level outcomes that we're seeing. So so I would say maybe it's a simple act of, you know, sitting down with your friend or a colleague or your neighbor and starting those conversations and dialogue, and maybe there you will be able to understand and really unpack what seems, you know, to be a large issue to handle, such as racism and so on.
And having those one-on-one conversations and hoping that people gain understanding and maybe will take that message on to their neighbors and other family members.
Absolutely, yeah.
Rich, talk about your work in this regard. You're like me, a white ambassador trying to help people better understand the need for all of us to have a more equitable society. So how do you take that message into the community? And I imagine the conversations that you have with some folks would be different than they would be with Celeste or Dr. Mana Mbise.
No, that's absolutely true. And, you know, I have to, I guess, deal in both worlds with, you know, I have old white guys for friends, and I have, you know, people like this as my closest friends, you know, but we're all one community. And all my career as a public defender, I have fought for equity, equal rights under the Constitution for my clients. And all of a sudden this year, because politicians say so. Equity, they turned the meaning of equity on its head. And it's like, now it's an evil word. Whereas it was always my honor.
No, it's not.
I know it's not. But that's what they're trying to impress, tell people. And people are backing down to that. No, but they're not standing up for equity because they know it's right. They're backing down because of whatever pressures they feel. But the Alaska Black Caucus, I can guarantee you, is not going to back down. And more people have to join us in standing up for concepts that we created this country with, you know. And so equity, I think, is one of the basic concepts of America.
Yes.
And I stand up for it, and we do. And it's just I can't imagine feeling ashamed that I represent equity for my clients and for our whole community.
What do you think led to the huge backlash on the federal level for DEI programs that's happening currently? Any thoughts about what that might be springing from?
You know, I don't know, but I don't believe, well, I don't want to get into the political piece of Project 2025 or anything, but I know that for a fact, prior to that, a lot of us never thought we'd be here. I mean, never in a million years thought we'd be back. I mean, because we're backwards now. We have gone back. And again, I just say, Alaska can be different. I mean, we don't have to follow what's happening in other places. Our diversity, we can't hide the fact that we are a diverse state. And we love the fact that everybody's different. And we need to take advantage of that and to embrace it and love it and showcase it. And not run from it or try to hide it and bury it. And so, you know, I can't speak to why we're here right now, but I do want to mention our allies. We have about 100-something allies within the Alaska Black Caucus. And they stand side by side with us. You know, really, they are the wind beneath our wings that help us accomplish our mission. And I am very proud of the work that they do. They serve on the committees. You know, we have 4 committees: health, education, justice, and economics. And a lot of them are spearheading or very active in those committees. And so I applaud them and I thank them for their work.
Did you? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought maybe you wanted to add something.
Right, yeah.
There. Yeah, you did.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, I think as you asked, you know, what has happened? I think there's been a lot of fear. And once that fear has sort of been left to go unaddressed, you know, there's a lot of mistrust. And this is why I would go back to the same thing I said, which is the promoting dialogue. And it's conversations like this that would help to break those barriers of fear and mistrust. And that's why I think we need to support, right, these type of conversations so we can understand each other and develop respect and empathy as a people. Because ultimately that leads to, you know, misconstruing, you know, concepts such as equity and what it means because of this misinformation and not really having the time for people to sit down and talk and understand each other. So I would hope that as a people, we can move towards more dialogue and breaking these barriers, you know, at a family level, individual level, but also with your neighbor. Talk to your neighbor and be the place where you can start to break these barriers and fear.
And Lori, really quickly, I just I think the Dr. Amana has a great point about the fear, but the fear attached to funding. I mean, when you start messing with money that we know that organizations need to achieve their mission, or I think about the university of Alaska Anchorage and their Board of Regents. I mean, just immediately doing away with their diversity piece. I mean, so, you know, without any real effort. I'm just fearful of losing funding. So we have work to do.
In an earlier interview, Celeste, you said equity to you is about being able to have access to tools for success. Talk about how the Equity Center will help in that regard.
Well, the Equity Center will provide not only space, but resources. I'm connected, many of us are connected to different agencies or individuals out in the community who want to support our work. And so the Equity Center will provide that space and the resources. We're in conversation right now with ConocoPhillips to pull together an employment piece where we see more individuals that look like the BIPOC community working in oil industry and those fields. And so, again, we'll have the resources, we'll have the contacts, the connections, we'll have the communities that need those connections. We merge them together and we have a great outcome. That's how we're going to do it at the Equity Center.
All right, we are going to take another short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion about the Alaska Black Caucus's new Equity Center and the work that it is undertaking in our state as Talk of Alaska continues statewide. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We are discussing the new Equity Center of the Alaska Black Caucus here in Anchorage. Celeste Hodge-Groudon is the president and CEO of the Alaska Black Caucus and is in the studio with us today. Dr. Amana Mbise is the chair of the Health Committee, and Rich Kirtner is an attorney and the chair of the Justice Committee. When racism, bigotry rears its head in government systems, in education and employment, it holds people back. And Celeste, you said, as we know, that means people don't have a seat at the table. People are marginalized. Do you see the Equity Center as a new table or as a place to learn the strategic tools to get more people to the seat at that main table?
Let me just say all of the above. The Equity Center will serve as a crucial hub for the BIPOC community, enhancing quality of life, supporting civic engagement, and fostering a spirit of unity and resilience. It represents a significant step towards building a more inclusive and equitable future for everyone. So yes, there will be many seats and many tables, and it will be a place where we will partner with those that keep the gate, those gatekeepers, and those that need to have entrance into the gates, And so it's an opportunity, and we are so, again, looking forward to merging the two into one, because that's really what we want. We want a place where everyone feels like they are a part of and they are included.
Thank you. Dr. Mbise, do you see larger problems in women or men's healthcare in the Black community? You mentioned high cancer rates, but who is struggling more with access, with affordability, with trust?
That's a great question. And this kind of ties to what we have seen in the Black community. As a result of doing the health needs assessment, what we saw was that men in particular, although they have some, you know, health challenges, but they were not coming to our, you know, conversations, and they were not showing up to all these events that we were putting together. And we wondered, you know, what's going on with Black men? And how can we reach Black men? And so I would say, like, the question is to... The access question is bigger with Black men, that Black men are not accessing healthcare at the rate that, you know, Black women are. And so what we have done is to then say, how can we reach Black men? What are those spaces that perhaps would increase our reach? And so right now, actually, we just have been working on a project that is looking at reaching Black men through barbershops. And this was an idea that
going
came...
Going where people are.
Correct, yeah. and recognizing and knowing the value of barbershops in the Black community. perhaps those spaces can help us to reach black men. And as we know, black barbers in the black community are doing more than just cutting hair. They are having health conversations. They're having social conversations, spaces where black men go to have a good time, to get groomed, but also to learn about what's happening in their community and as well as in their own health. So we are now trying to pilot this, the barbershop project, to see whether can we reach black men and address their health? Can we do some programming that is barbershop-based? Can we do some maybe health screening at a barbershop and perhaps by that increase our reach? And we know that barbershop as a health model has been done in other states, and perhaps we can pilot that here. And the Alaska Black Caucus is really excited about this because we want to reach our black men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's an excellent, brilliant approach.
And let me just add one more time. I'm smiling over here because I think of my dad. He's passed away now, but even at the age of 88, he would say, "Oh, Celeste, you need to take me to the barbershop." So, and I'd say, "Okay, well, they said it's about an hour away." "Oh, that's okay." He'd sit in the chair because of the conversations that were going on and he could engage in. And so, yes, the barbershop, I remember the barbershop, even as a female, being really crucial to our community.
Mm-hmm. Rich, will the Justice Committee hold some legal workshops, or what are you focused on there?
Yeah, we definitely want to do that. You know, I'm anxious to get into the Equity Center and have the many people that have contacted me and they want to get involved. We have a place to meet now. And, you know, many, many people have asked me in this time that we live in this attack on equity, what can I do? They're angry, they want to do something, and I can tell them right now, join the Alaska Black Caucus, other organizations in our community, because our voices will be louder the more voices we have. And we're not going to be heard unless we all get together. And so we hope that the Equity Center will be a meeting place that we can people can come to and talk to any of us on any committee. And if they're interested in justice or health or economics or education, there's a lot of concern there. And we invite everybody to come to Alaska Black Caucus and get involved.
Rich, where do you see improvement in legal recourse right now? And where are the big areas of continuing concern? We're seeing horrific treatment of immigrants across the country. What is your level of concern over this sort of normalizing of the militarization of police?
Well, I'm really concerned about that. And it's in the public, I think that they're going to have interest in getting representation, and we have to educate the public about what immigrants really means and what immigration does, and so we just have to expand our legal representation.
Absolutely. Celeste, we asked numerous other groups that represent Indigenous folks, other communities of color, to join us today, but to no avail. I know you don't want to speak for others, but do you think part of the reason that other organizations did not want to step forward today is because of the fear in this current overheated political climate?
Absolutely, yes. And let me tell you, you know, we talked about the Equity Center, but what we didn't talk about was an email I received today, this morning. And it was one of the regular negative emails about our work, but through that email, you know, that I forwarded to my husband, and he was all concerned and stuff. And he says, "Well, why aren't you doing anything?" I don't want to waste another moment responding to negative emails that don't get me anywhere. I would rather utilize my energy on things that will help us achieve our mission. And so I try my best to stay focused on the things that we're working on, like opening up the doors to the Equity Center. But I will mention, there's a sign that we are discussing that will be on the exterior of the Equity Center. And there were comments about, Celeste, the first thing, do not put the Alaska Black Caucus on the sign because it will get vandalized. There will be, you know, people will realize that's where the building is. There will be all this negative talk about the sign. Instead, just put like something on it so people won't know that. That's ridiculous. I mean, the fact that you know, we are having discussions about our sign and how we can't put our name on it because there are people out there that don't want us to see, I mean, they don't want equity, they don't want justice, they want us to go away. But we are leaning in into equity. We are leaning in, you know, God did not give us the spirit of fear. And so we will continue on our path and we will have a sign that lets folks know that our doors are open, that the Equity Center is in business, to do right, and to bring about justice.
And how can Alaskans, whether they are people from communities of color, indigenous communities, or other ethnic backgrounds, such as myself, how can others get involved? What are there memberships, or what should they do?
Thank you so much for that question. Yes, if you believe in our mission, which is equality, justice, fairness for everyone, then you can join the organization. We don't care what color you are. We just care that you have a heart to help bring about justice for everybody. And we would love to have you be a part of the Alaska Black Caucus. Please visit us at our website, you have to include the word thealaskablackcaucus.com. Looking forward to having you sit at the table with us.
And will the Equity Center be a nonprofit?
It's a nonprofit, 501c3 okay. organization. Yes, it is.
All right. Celeste, we only have about a minute left here. The Black Caucus holds Sunday evening Zoom discussions on a wide range of topics. Tell us about what you focused on with these discussions and who attends.
So the community conversations are open to everyone on Zoom. You can also watch them on Facebook Live. And it's an opportunity for us to discuss race because a lot of people don't want to talk about race. They don't want to talk about the subjects that we talk about during our community conversations. But they are very educational. People walk away thanking us for hosting them. Sometimes people are in tears. We have diverse representation witnessing the community conversations. Every Sunday, we're on a break right now until September the 7th, I believe. But we've been holding these conversations every Sunday for the past 3 years on Zoom. And so we invite everyone to listen in. Last Sunday, we had Daniel Gwynn, who was exonerated after being on the death penalty, the death row for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so we had him as our guest.
All right. So every Sunday evening, and what time did they start?
They're only an hour long from 7 to 8 p.m.
All right. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thanks to our guest today, Celeste Hodge-Groden, who is the president and CEO of the Alaska Black Caucus. Dr. Amana Mbise is the chair of the Health Committee for the Black Caucus. And Rich Kirtner is an attorney and the chair of the Justice Committee. The new Equity Center is in Anchorage, and you can find out more about it by going to their website, thealaskablackcaucus.com. We'll also link to that on the Talk of Alaska post today. Thanks to our engineer, Chris Hyde, our producer, Madeline Rose, our editor, Annie Feit, and Sam Ling helped us out on the phones today. I'm Lori Townsend. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.